She came here because we're all.
Stop it!
We're all what? What side are they on?
He was killed by Ultron.
Welcome back to New Rockstars. WandaVision's MCU conspiracy grows even deeper as Wanda pops out a couple future young Avengers in Brady Bunch hell, all while the agents of S.W.O.R.D. are on a mission, we think, to sneak in some uninvited cosplayers to a TV Land convention. WTF, or as we say here, Wanda. The never gets old. This is Inside Marvel. It's our WandaVision after show. I'm Eric Voss, talking about WandaVision episode 3 here with Jessica Clemens.
I love the idea of calling it a Brady Bunch hell, because I love the Brady Bunch. So that would be my hell. I guess it'd be a good hell.
It'd be like, oh no, I hate living in the Brady Bunch.
Oh my gosh.
And then God's like, are you serious?
Every second
like,
I go,
yeah.
Sure, Jan. I just say famous quotes from the series all the time. Absolutely. Fine with it.
Is it the rules of Brady Bunch hell where if you say Marsha 3 times, Marsha appears and tortures you?
Oh my God, I'd say it like every day.
But it's just how pretty she is.
Oh, okay. If it's that, then no. I don't want that in my room.
Just brushes her hair
She's
slowly in front
like,
of you.
I'm gorgeous. And I'm like, I know that, Marsha. God, I am Jan. I knew it.
Well, we didn't get to see Wanda Maximoff get hit in the face with a football today, but we are going to explain S.W.O.R.D.'s mystery mission and try to answer all the big questions you had coming out of this episode. Later today will be my in-depth, shot-by-shot breakdown of all the Easter eggs you might have missed in this episode. There were quite a few. And yes, I am now wearing our new latest obsession shirt called An Unusual Couple. You can get it at newrockstarsmerch.com. I love the way it fits. The design has secret Easter eggs revealed only via augmented reality. These are going to sell out fast. They typically do because they're really cool shirts. And once they do, you know, back in the Blue Dungeon Vault they go. They're collectible items. That's kind of the rules of it. So again, newrockstarsmerch.com. But if you do get the shirt, you'll get the opportunity to write in a custom shout out that will appear at the bottom of these Inside Marvel episodes. We got a few down here. Elizabeth Bollinger says, "For the children, take a shot every time for this, or what Eric says, Mephisto, and you'll be like Vision and Big Red." Yeah, absolutely. Play along. Just make sure you're home. You should be home anyway. But absolutely, we love that people are doing drinking games. And then, I don't know if this is legit, but Albert Barton says, "Vanessa Villarreal, I love you. Will you marry me?"
Oh my God.
Did we just get our first on-screen proposal?
God.
On
I'm gonna
New
be
Rockstars?
So mad if this isn't real, but then I'll also be happy if it's like a cat. It's two cats. But also, congratulations.
It's all hopefully, kitty marriage.
It's a kitty marriage. But if it's not a kitty marriage, it's a human marriage. Congratulations.
We hope. Hopefully you get a yes. And if it is real, send us a picture. If not, we'll pretend this never happened.
Yeah, we can definitely play that trope of like, yeah, we never said this.
Yeah, we need are some, we need some New Rock Stars hookups. We need some New Rock Stars, people who came together because of New Rock Stars, people who come together because of New Rock Stars, and people who have babies. We want some NR babies. So
I would love that.
Let's build a cult, really.
As long as I beat Tommy in this competition, then I'm fine with it. You guys better be more attracted to me than Tommy. I love Tommy, but it's competition.
Yeah, everything's competitive. I had to kill 4 different previous New Rock Stars hosts to get this job. One of them's still out there biding his time until I'm old and weak, which is why I have to stay vigilant. And I'm always armed with these guns.
Oh, dear Lord.
Hey, by the way, our merch partners, Epic Hero Shop, have also released a companion shirt. So if you want to keep this unusual couple together, you totally can. And you totally should want to keep them together. Jump on that one as well. NewRockstarsMerch.com. Okay, Jessica, let's talk about episode 3. What happened this episode?
Okay, you guys, I told you last time I'm bad at summarizing, so I wrote it down. This time I'm going to read it. Secondly, just so you guys did, if you didn't catch on, I did my like makeup as an homage to this episode because Monica's makeup was astounding.
Very nice.
Thank you. Not good. The hair. Wish I could have done the fro, but I couldn't do it because the hair's in and it's not coming out. But let's get into it. So this episode is truly insane. It really starts, like, you start recognizing what it is. If you watch episode one and two and we're really confused, it's starting to break it down and you're starting to actually understand what's going on. So we start with a 70s groovy Vision and pregnant Wanda and a Brady Bunch-ish, like, opening. Instead of squares, though, they get hexagons.
Hexagons, they're back.
Hexagons. Every person that came at me about not talking about the hexagons last time, I understand I did wrong because the hexagons are big in this episode.
Apparently they're a very big deal.
They're a huge deal, and I definitely just said, yeah, there's hexagons, what about it? They're shapes. I'm sorry. I take it all back. So Vision and Wanda are visited by their doctor, who tells them that they're 4 months pregnant, which is super quick. Vision walks the doctor out. It's too fast. I wish it worked like that, but it does not. So Vision then walks the doctor out, and they saw Herb cutting the hedges, and Herb is cutting the hedges straight to the brick wall like a weirdo. He's like, what's up, my man?
You taking your meds today? That isn't my man. Herb, no, Herb.
Herb went, my man. It's just cut into the brick wall. And Vision's like, okay, this is weird. Re-enters his home to see Wanda even more pregnant. She's now reached from 4 months to 6 months. And he was gone for maybe 30 seconds. So it's already going crazy and haywire. Every time we see Wanda, she's having like any kind of cramps, any kind of like discomfort or false labor. Something weird happens to the surrounding. Either the lights go out, water is triggered, just like everything in the house is going bonkers. And that's the slapstick comedy that we're getting in this episode. I love it. We get a small moment when Vision recognizes all the weird stuff happening. And once he says, I think there's something wrong here, Wanda, we cut back to the beginning of the conversation. A glitch? We don't know. It could have been a skip in the tape. Yeah. No one knows.
That glitch, I really had to pause and like rewind and be like, oh no, that was meant to be there.
I thought it was my internet. Fuzzy. I was like, Spectrum? Like, I was truly like, they did it again? And then I was like, oh yeah, I forgot what the show is about. Which I'm sure everybody was caught. Okay, so then Wanda begins going into actual labor. Vision runs to the doctor. Promptly, she's visited by Geraldine, Monica, and a silly, uninvited stork. That stork?
Storks just have an open invitation to everyone's home. Truly? They're really the worst guests.
And I'm such a dummy. I was like, why is there a heron here? And then I was like, oh, it's a stork. Who
what
also
is that
won't
egret
disappear?
Doing bringing babies in the room?
I said, is that a pterodactyl? I just don't know anything that has wings. But it won't disappear with the red hand smoke. Wanda keeps trying to get it to disappear, and it will not disappear.
It was like, aha, all of your attacks are futile against me.
It was truly a Pokemon. I'm a stork. You don't understand. I truly was so stupid. I was like, is this an eagle? I truly did not understand until the second time I watched it.
Do you not know what birds are, Jessica?
I'm not showing you my notes, but I wrote down three different birds it could have been. And then I was like, oh, it's a stork. Gah.
This is why you got to play Wingspan with me. The best board game in the world. Teaches you all about different birds. Not really. If you have to read the cards to learn. Oh, I forget to do that.
Then no, I'm not going to do that. I can't. I don't have time. Then Wanda goes into actual labor and gives birth with the help of Geraldine. When Vision and the doctor enter assisting with a second birth, it's twins. Go figure. Tommy and Billy. They name them both.
Yeah. We got some confirmation that, that tea on the refrigerator that didn't really look like a tea. It is a tea. Mm-hmm. It's a Wiccan and Speed. It looks
but
like they're going
one
with
one is definitely not different colors. which I held on to. I was like, why isn't one green? Okay, so all is great. Okay, so, all is great until Wanda and Geraldine are alone, and Wanda, in what seemingly is a heart-to-heart, reveals she's a twin, and she had a brother named Pietro that died, when Geraldine cuts in and says, he was killed by Ultron, wasn't he? That
she's
took
like,
me. I went,
you say his name.
I said, you said it? All hell's about to break loose. So outside, we get Vision talking to Herb and Agnes, who are asking way too many questions and being super suspicious about Geraldine being left alone with Wanda. They say Geraldine has no husband, no family, no home in her town. Herb begins to explain she came here because we're all what? No one knows. We're because what? Agnes what? Immediately cuts in and goes, stop.
Stop
and
it.
Looks at him. Yeah, stop it. And Vision's
just
standing there.
That's what Deborah Jo Rupp's character was saying in episode one. Stop it. Stop it.
Stop.
Stop it.
You stop it. Oh my God, I didn't
even
think about
it.
You stop it. I didn't think about this.
Stop it.
See, this is why I needed you. I didn't know it was a stork, and I didn't think about that thing. But now I think about it. So Wanda and Geraldine are having this crazy, uncomfortable conversation, almost interrogation of Geraldine, where it's obvious that, like, Wanda is now, like, the bad cop, and Geraldine is just an innocent victim in all this.
She's like, I would like to go home right now, please.
Yeah, and she's like, no. Where did you come from? Where did you do this? Wanda becomes completely hostile and tells Geraldine she thinks she should leave. Wanda recognizes Geraldine's necklace that is the symbol for sword that we all talked about earlier. And Geraldine becomes tongue-tied, trying to answer, but also confused. Next thing we know, Vision enters the home, and Geraldine gets shot out of a cosmic bubble to a bunch of soldiers and lights and helicopters outside that we saw in the trailer.
Yes, the forces of sword. Let's not forget Dr. Nielsen with his sexist views. Make it into fruit because it's easier for their tiny brains. And then you could be a nurse, young lady.
You could be a nurse one day when she just finished talking about the amazing promotion she already got.
He's
a butthole. And then also, I forgot to bring it up, but I will bring it up, the commercial, which we will go into.
Yes.
We will definitely go into, but yes, there is another commercial in this episode. It's about just taking time to yourself.
Yeah, Hydra soak. This one was not even trying to be subtle. It's just remember Hydra?
yeah, you remember
what
Hydra?
They had soap. So, yes, another super fun episode. Lots of mystery. But I feel like the most mysterious stuff, like last episode with the Beekeeper, this episode with the Forces of Sword, is all stuff that we saw in the trailer. So it's like, okay, haven't totally gotten more context about this other than, Wanda's attitude, right? Like, she seemed to have some aggression, as you said. Like,
we need to dive into this because there's so many theories that came up because of this episode where I was like, maybe there is no villain. Maybe Wanda is the only person in there and we're just coming up with Nightmare, Grim Reaper, and Emma Festo, and maybe it's just her. But let's get into it because I truly need to talk it out.
Yeah, so what was, we think, the big WTF coming out of this episode?
Ooh, WTF is sword. What the Wanda? Wanda the f*** is sword, and what is their mission?
Yeah. So I think this one thing that confused me more about this episode than I was at the start of the series is it kind of confirms that there are multiple forces at work here. Like, I used to think that, you know, everybody was drinking the same Kool-Aid, and then I thought, you know, maybe it's Wanda and Vision versus the community. But now it looks like there are five different teams with different motives. So just to break those down quickly, we got Wanda, who seems to be on a team of her own. Directed by Penny Marshall. Really just seems to want to live in Westview with Vision, have kids without being outed as a superhero. And she's only a little suspicious, but I don't think she's on the same team as Vision, who I would say is on team two. He is way more confused, worried. He seems super suspicious of this town, more than Wanda is. But his goal is to just support Wanda. He's kind of attached to her. Whatever she wants, he wants. But he is of a different level of cognition than she is. The third team is just Westview, the community. That includes Herb, Norm, the Hearts, Phil, Dottie, Bev, Dr. Nielsen, his wife, others. It seems like they want the children. They're for the children. And they seem to be prone to glitching. However, they know something. Herb knows something, right? So they're of a different level of cognition than Vision is. Then we get Agnes on team four. She seems to have a completely separate agenda from the rest of the town and definitely separate from Wanda or Vision because she turns Wanda and Vision against other people like Dottie, like Geraldine and Monica. If she was part of the town of Westview's thing, she wouldn't try to turn Wanda against Dottie in episode two. She would have some other kind of focus. And then the fifth team is the one we're about to talk about, Sword. That includes Monica and the Beekeeper, Jimmy Woo, Darcy Lewis. Those are all the people we see at the outside at the end of the episode who are trying to break into this pocket reality. So just to rewind the clock on Sword, you've been seeing various sightings of Sword, the logo, right? The circle with the sword coming up through it. On the monitor room at the end of episode one, on that toy helicopter, the Beekeeper suit had a sword logo on the back, Monica's necklace this episode. And this episode, we see their whole exterior perimeter and their whole military-style camp. Okay, so what is Sword? Sword is the organizational offshoot of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel Comics. It stands for, in the comics at least, Sentient World Observation and Response Department. It's headquartered on a space station called the Peak in Earth's orbit. It kind of focuses on extraterrestrial threats. However, in the MCU, we've gotten a hint that SWORD might instead stand for Sentient Weapon Observation and Response Department. That comes from a social media leak of a digital trading card. It's not yet confirmed, but we could see that being very likely. Wanda and Vision are kind of sentient weapons. All Avengers, in a way, are sentient weapons.
Technically.
So what we know about SWORD so far is we think it is a Nick Fury joint, separate from SHIELD. The Spider-Man Far From Home post-credit scene shows Fury on that Skrull space station. We think that might be the peak. And we know that Monica Rambeau is part of this SWORD organization. We last saw her with Fury and the Skrulls and Captain Marvel when she was a kid. So presumably that was kind of the origins of SWORD in that final scene. Now, previously, we have assumed in this show that SWORD is investigating this phenomenon from the outside and trying to free Wanda from it. Mm-hmm. And that's why SWORD is sending in agents like Monica and the Beekeeper to try to rescue her, to try to break the bubble. Sometimes it seems like SWORD might have actually helped Wanda create this illusion, but based on the way Wanda reacts to each SWORD sighting, I think we can assume that she and SWORD are not on the same page. Wanda does not want this illusion to end. She's kind of like Cypher in The Matrix, right? Ignorance is bliss. Now, SWORD's mission is to break Wanda free of this spell by identifying which dark force she partnered with to create it. The voice over the radio asks, who is doing this to you? I think we can assume that who is Agnes and maybe the demonic or dark entity she serves, whether it's the Grim Reaper or Mephisto. I made another video on that. Mm-hmm. But I think that is why Monica is trying to supplant Agnes as Wanda's best friend. She's trying to drive a wedge between them.
Yes.
And that's why Agnes finds that closeness so threatening. But Jessica, do you think there's any other kind of aspect to SWORD's mission on the show? Or is there another way to interpret what they're doing?
So this is where I was like, okay, I need to go back and rewatch the other two episodes after people are getting at me about the hexagon. I was like, the hexagon. And then I watched this episode. I was like, okay, the hexagon is a big deal. Let me go back and rewatch it. So, and every time I look down, just for everybody's knowledge, I have my notes below me of like what I was writing during the show. So when I was watching it and I was like, okay, let's get back to the beekeeper for a hot second, just a quick second, right? So I was immediately like, I wrote down in my notes, I was like, swarm or aim? And then I was like, I think it's just funny if you swarm. I do think he can't be aim because it's the SWORD person of, like, we saw the SWORD logo on the back. But then I was also like, I don't think Marvel would do this again. But what if it's possible that someone again from there, like that time from Hydra, from AIM, has now broken into SHIELD and is working as, like, presumably this is still a good team, but there's someone undercover that's trying to get to more information that's in there. Even if it is like another entity, if it's like Mephisto or something, I think I was like, that could be a possibility. We could have been doing another introduction to AIM because we did get them in Iron Man 3, but we didn't get them a lot in other than the video games. So I was like, what if they're just like, what if we get another break-in? There's a possibility that that could be like the case that's going on. And then that would give more reason for like, or, and then I was also like, hexagons, a hex, watch it be just some witch stuff that I just am not like not catching on to. But that AIM thing started hitting me because I was like, that could be an homage to AIM because they all wear yellow suits. They are technically like evil and they could be going implemented into Hydra again or as Hydra into a swarm this time instead of SHIELD like last time. I was like, they could be doing that. Also, the Strucker, apply all the Strucker stuff. And I was like, I wasn't keeping this in mind that Strucker's not a good person. So I was like, this could just be like, we think that it's Swarm, but it could be someone doing corrupt shit within Swarm, making it just worse on the inside for Wanda.
I see the arguments about AIM. People have been sharing that. And I know I'm going to sound self-contradictory here. The fact that AIM's logo is a hexagon, I don't think it's connected to the hexagons of this show. In some cases, hexagons are just a natural shape that people work in a logo and they just fit together naturally. We see that all over the MCU. Yeah. There's like the Universal Neural Transportation Network is made up of hexagons. That doesn't immediately mean it's connected. But when we see hexagons within this show, I think we can assume those are connected. The only reason my gut tells me it's not AIM is that we're already meeting a new organization with SWORD in this show. Yeah, are they really going to bring in another organization that was from Iron Man 3, Advanced Idea Mechanics? That was Aldrich Killian's weapons organization. I don't know. Something tells me it I doubt it.
I get that. I'm trying to, like, it was just, like, everything. I was like, we have to piece it together somehow. But then I'm also, like, watching more of it, and we can get into this later, watching more of it, I was like, what if there is no villain but Wanda? What if Wanda is doing all of this on her own? I was like, there is a possibility, because Agnes is obviously afraid of her, too. Agnes wasn't like, stop it, angry. She was like, stop it, please. Like,
she's because like, stop she knew. It, we're going to get, ejected.
And they were like, it was like that reckoning of just like, they're afraid for Geraldine because she's in there with Wanda. Wanda's not in there with Geraldine. Like, she's in there with
Right,
Gallagher.
And
it was like, and so I was just like, there has to be a reason this is all connected, but maybe Agnes isn't working with Mephisto. Maybe she's just like a deep, deep part of like Wanda's memory. And with all that's happening right now, she was just one of those many people that were brought back. And she's like,
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Actually, I have another side note to this, but I know that it's in like the next our next topic, so we can slide into it if we want.
We can do that. Just some conclusions, things you need to know about S.W.O.R.D. for now, heading forward in the series. S.W.O.R.D. is this separate Marvel entity. It's kind of going to be the new S.H.I.E.L.D. of the MCU. In this show, they are, it looks like, good guys just trying to help Wanda, or at least control her, if she is kind of the villain of the series. And they are not on the same side of the rest of Westview and Agnes. It's clear that the town of Westview views these this outside entity as a hostile presence. So I think there's like a dividing line between them. So just think of S.W.O.R.D. as like kind of the observers and the helpers, kind of the cops outside of the hostage situation, who are just trying to call in to the hostage taker to try to negotiate with them.
Also, side note, when I was watching that scene, I paused it so many times on the very end. I'll take the fact that S.W.O.R.D. brought in those like lights, but then I was also like, this looks like it's a football field. And it looks like Wanda literally walked into a town and took it over. And that's why I think like Herb's last words could have been like, we're all trapped, because there were just people of this town that Wanda forced to become in her freaking chaotic world.
Yeah, you can see those lights and you can see a little house from the outside.
Yes, I was like,
so it tells us that it's not just like an empty field that they're looking in at. It's a town that was already there before the illusion started to come up.
100%. I was going crazy with it.
We're going to keep talking about this episode. First, we just want to thank some people who helped us make it. Thank you to Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Guys, do you remember the days when you were always ready to go? Whether you're human or synthezoid, your purple parts are gonna do some pleasing. Well, now you can be ready to go whenever you need to. You can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, so you can be ready to go whenever an opportunity arises, even if you have to make a baby that gestates and is delivered within 24 hours. I don't know if Blue Chew can help you do that. You'd have to be a fictional character. But
hey, I'm into it.
If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They are made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. No awkwardness, and you don't have to leave the house. And right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo promo code WandaVision. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com, promo code WandaVision to try it free. We also want to thank our friends at Helix Sleep for sponsoring this episode. We have been losing some sleep trying to figure out the mysteries of WandaVision, but we shouldn't be losing sleep because of a bad mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes 2 minutes, just 2 minutes, to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Soft, medium, or firm mattress. Mattress is great if you sleep hot, or even mattress for plus size folks. The quiz matched me with the Dusk Luxe Helix mattress because I wanted a medium firm mattress with lumbar support that sleeps cool. And they checked all those boxes, and I have like the perfect mattress now. I've been sleeping great ever since I got it. I love it. It's a huge upgrade over my old weird mattress that probably needed to be taken out in the back and shot years ago. The mattress ships free right to your door. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Just go to helixsleep.com/Mandalorian. I know it's the old URL, but it's still specific to new rock stars. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will love it. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Mandalorian. I know a different show than this one, but it is the new Rockstar's URL, and we want them to know that we sent you. Okay, back to this episode 3 of WandaVision. What's our next WTF?
WTF, what's Herb about to say? She came here because we're all what?
Yeah, that's...
She came here because we're all...
Because we're all...
It had to be trapped. They're all trapped. They're all trapped. Like, they're all trapped.
Trapped is where my mind went to, because that came after that the doctor said it's so hard to escape from a small town.
Those keywords, escape.
And if that's the truth, then maybe Monica Rambeau's mission and Sword's mission isn't just to save Wanda. It's to save all these people in this town, too.
That is 100%. Yeah. Okay, so if we do go off the theory that she did walk into this town and literally just corrupt everything and, like, turned everything into her own thing, that it would make sense that sometimes these people come out of consciousness, or they're playing very hard because they're afraid of what Wanda might do to them. Because it seems like, how would, because we all thought that they were all just like under this spell, they were all like turned into like these people, right? What if they're not actually turned into anything and they're just out of fear, like just playing along, playing the games, and that's why Dottie cut herself and was just like, I don't want you to throw me out of this bubble and kill me too. Like,
it's, I think there must be some kind of trance or spell, because, if so, they would all have to be amazing actors, like to convince them
to
so
keep
much.
Doing this.
There's some kind of magic at play, because Herb was Herb just having a nervous breakdown then if he was, cutting into the wall?
That is true. Or that is true. That
he
is
seemed
true.
Like his right. eyes were wide. He was just in a different place.
So maybe once she realized Geraldine wasn't supposed to be there, that's when people all were like starting to wake up, because she was like, wait a minute, you're definitely not supposed to be here.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Possibly.
Another theory I thought for what he's going to say is, she came here because we're all dead. Like, going
you
back
want,
to our
you want
West
them
view
to
is
be
a graveyard
dead.
Theory. They're
it's
all
not,
ghosts.
It's not
we
a
shouldn't
we
be
theory.
Alive.
This is a you theory. I don't agree with this.
Hey, I'll take a me theory. My me theories have been right sometimes. Yeah. Other times I barfed them back up.
It's a graveyard. They threw the corpses in there.
So it seems like trapped is the right answer. Mm. But it could also be dead. It could also be like, because we're all fake, or we're all demons, or we're all synthezoids. Like, are they all robots?
Yeah, he would say that so like melancholy. We're all robots. Like, oh, okay.
We're all artificial. But the flip side of this question, let's talk about Wanda. The was Agnes's reaction to Herb when she said, "Stop it, Jessica." She looks scared.
She looks.
So, do you think Agnes
She's
is a victim of this as well?
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about it a little bit. And I know that we wrote this down as one of the WTFs, so I'm sorry to like jump into it a little early. But the fact is, so I read a little bit. I never finished it, which is why I looked it up again. And I'm so sorry to the fans watching, because they're like, this woman talks about WandaVision, but she don't read all the comics. So I did half of James Robinson's Scarlet Witch Volume 1, where they talk about the Witch's Road, right? So I looked into it more, because I was like, let's look into this. So in that issue, Agnes is just a freaking ghost, right? That Wanda, like, is only talking to every time. And eventually she's resurrected by the inner goddess, which is Hecate. And so I was like, what if she, like, is technically resurrected or something in this world by Wanda, but she's, like, afraid of going back? Or just afraid of what she'll do, because she's the only person that ultimately knows Wanda's huge powers. Or, well, like, she, everyone knows, but she's like, I lived with this woman. Like, I know, I lived for 10,000 years. Like, I know what her powers are like. So she completely is scared. And it's when they had that inner goddess part with the Hydra soak, I was like, okay, so Agnes is just brought back by Wanda, because, like, going along James Robinson's, like, storyline of Scarlet Witch number one. So I think, like, we should be looking at that comic book. Anyone that's fans out there, please look into it more than I did, because I was like, I didn't have time to look and see if James Robinson had any ties to the, like, the series, if they asked him questions or anything, because his storyline is completely different. Like, Wanda's mom is in it, so it's like a different story, but they kind of do a nod to it. Just saying.
You know, I think for me, it was the fact that Agnes was turned away from Vision in that moment, and that fear in her eyes was something she didn't want Vision to see. So this fear, this stop it, it was not a performance. It felt real. And it reminds me of that shot we've seen in trailer footage where she's scared and she turns to Vision and she goes, are you here to save us? Because you're an Avenger, you're dead, you know, like, there's, and then she has that big laugh. So it's, I'm not really sure what Agnes's deal is.
She's scared,
to me,
though.
She was, I think she's a little afraid of Wanda. And what I think is that Agnes has partnered with Wanda, but that whatever their partnership was, whether it was, like, together they're working on a spell to resurrect Vision, that has gone out of control. And Agnes is like, this bitch is too powerful. I don't want to upset her. She could destroy all of us. So, like, let's just, like, play along with this. Just make Wanda happy. Yeah. What have I gotten myself into?
I mentioned it earlier, I think, but it was, like, her entire job in this series so far is to keep Wanda happy. Like, that's all. Agnes has been keeping her under control. Like, she's been just, like, coming in at the right moments of, like, flusteredness to be like, hey, what's going on? Like, so I'm like, yeah, she's truly there to keep her happy. And now that she's alone with someone that wasn't supposed to be in that world, she's like, I can't go in there. I can't just jump in there. Maybe that's what she was talking to Ralph about, or Herb about. She was like, I can't just run in that house now. Like, Geraldine's in there.
I have to say, I love that you keep calling him Herb as if, like, you know, he's parsley or something.
He is. I don't want to.
We should just call him Herb. Him. He is now Herb now.
He's Herb. Yeah,
He is Basil.
Hey, who else loves herbs? The devil, Mephisto. Keep going. Let's keep going.
Yeah. We got to talk about this glitch. This glitch definitely broke my brain because, yeah, we've seen, like, meta production stuff before. Every episode ends with, like, the TV wipe. Wanda rewound the footage within the episode last. But this one, it's almost like Disney and the Marvel team was trying to confuse us in this moment. They wanted everyone to pause and rewind and make sure it is what they see. Do we think that, first off, there might have been other glitches that we overlooked.
Maybe.
But then secondly, does this tell us something about the nature of this world? It is weird that episode one ended with a S.W.O.R.D. agent, I think it was Darcy Lewis, by the way, watching that on TV.
Writing
is it possible
notes.
That what we are watching from within the reality is being broadcasted to TV in the local area, and that's how S.W.O.R.D. detected it? They're like, whoa, people's TV land reruns have an Avenger in it. The hell is going on? Like, is all of things that we're seeing within it being broadcasted out to random people's houses, and that's what we're looking at?
That might be the most roguest theory ever. That's such a crazy idea. I like the idea of assuming that was Darcy Lewis, because in all of the trailer that she's been in, it's like her always flustered, like trying to, like, get something across. So it could be her like trying to tell, like, you guys aren't listening to me. I wrote down notes. I found out what's happening over there. That'd be insane. Also, this glitch made me feel like, which is probably not true, don't hold on to this, that it didn't come from Wanda, because the other glitch that happened in the second episode, she said, no, we rewound. This one, she just had the exact same face, unless it was just so smooth for her to be like, I don't want you to think
No, you're right, you're right. She was listening to Vision. She wanted to hear what Vision was getting at in that moment, so something else caused that.
Unless my theory is true and that she created Vision, and so their minds are literally taped together. Everything she says, he does. Everything he does, she says. Like, it's their... Yes, he's an improviser, but he's also just one with her.
Yeah.
And when his face, because he obviously seemed really shook. He was like, something's going on here, Wanda. Maybe that was Vision's, like, cut back to the beginning instead of Wanda's. But they're both the same mind. They're both the same person because Wanda made him up.
It's a give and take relationship. That's why I think there was this moment where she goes, oh, did I do that kind of thing? It wasn't, did I do that? It wasn't an Urkel reference. But she did say, like, oh, I didn't even realize I could do that. Like, when they were decorating the nursery. So, like... I think that was a signal to us that Wanda is somewhat in control of this reality, but not totally in control of it. She has made some kind of deal with the devil, either the literal devil or someone, you know, akin to them, who has kind of made it a give and take relationship with Westview. Sometimes Westview corrects stuff, sometimes Wanda corrects stuff, but there is that lever there and someone's hand, two different hands are wrestling on that joystick.
Also, the people that found that part, the Grim Reaper's helmet, in the second episode, I was like, if I see the Grim Reaper, I'm going to be a little irritated. We keep bringing in so many villains, and I'm like, can we just leave it at one? Can we leave it at Mephisto?
Yeah, that's kind of the leading sentiment right now, is that it's not Mephisto, it's the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
And I totally get
proof. There's more proof for that.
There is definitely more proof of the Grim Reaper, especially I think people are seeing signs of, like, Wonder Man, who is the Grim Reaper's brother, and this all might be a plot to take Vision's consciousness and reincarnate it in Wonder Man. The reason I hope it's not a literal adaptation of that is such a goofy plot from that Marvel, from Avengers 102. And it's one of these things where if that ends up being what it is, if it's just literally that, people who are watching WandaVision right now just loving this mystery are going to be like, that f***ing sucks. It's one of these things where, like, Marvel fans watch these shows, and I'm one of them, and thinks, oh, there are some similarities to this one random comic from the 80s or 90s that I read, and then Kevin Feige's just going to do exactly that. That's never the case. I don't care what glaring Easter eggs there are. He always does something that will appeal to a broad audience who does not read the comics. So that's why I'm still leaning against this 100%. Grim Reaper thing. It's not going to be exactly that. It may be based on that. It may be similar to that. It may be more that than a Mephisto.
Also, the equivalent to that is, okay, so yeah, we're trying to figure out who the villain is, so I understand it could be Grim Reaper just because of that helmet being shown and a couple other things. But also in that same intro, they had, it said, like, Auntie A's, like, kitty litter for Agnes. And then they had Bova milk for the cow that raised her in the comics. So I was like, there's a lot of, they're just, like, giving, like, a nod to, like, we read the comic books, too. These
are just
little
nods. Yeah, it
felt
like the... Because when they do this, there's like another animator who works on that. Jack Schaefer, the showrunner, overlooked it and was probably like, yeah, Kevin Feige's like, yeah, sure. But those animators will sneak in all kinds of stuff. We break down Rick and Morty on this channel, and all the time without Dan Harmon or Justin Roiland signing off on it, they'll put in references to South Park or The Simpsons and stuff, and the animator will be like, yeah, I just threw that in there.
Yeah,
and then Harmon will be like, yeah, okay. Let's talk about our fifth Wanda, the that Hydra Soak commercial. You had some ideas for that. Find the inner goddess within. What do we think that
it
means?
It is straight there, written in the stars. It had, when they said find the inner goddess in you. The inner goddess was Hecate, or I'm sorry, I'm so sorry if I'm pronouncing the goddess wrong. I am terrible at pronouncing anyone's name, but it definitely is her, the goddess of witchcraft. Because even in the storyline that James Robinson had, she got her powers, and same with Agnes, they got their powers from that woman. And when those and that when she noticed her powers were being weakened, she was like, someone's messing with it and I need to go figure out who it is. It was Declan. But like, she was like, I need to go figure out who it is. So I was like, I think that I don't know if that's going to have a severe tie. I think it's just more about the Hydra meaning more than anything. Mm-hmm. But the inner goddess part is like, her inner goddess is her magic. It's her witchcraft. And I think we should not knock that, or like not like. Yeah. Acknowledge that that's what was said.
Whether it's that specific character or just like the fact that Wanda was cursed by Chthon when she was a baby and has always kind of had this god level power. She's an omega level mutant.
She's a goddess,
so maybe find the goddess within is kind of like telling this Marvel goddess, like, you are far more powerful than most other characters in this universe. Find that inner goddess. And she is basically the goddess of this pocket reality. So I think it's kind of a message there.
Also, it probably was not meant to do this, but I feel like the director noticed it and was like, yeah, let's keep it like that. Phil came in with another funny one-liner. Phil coming in with the mustache man with a funny joke. He was reading a newspaper, and before the lights went out, it said something like, first fire hydrant.
Or a second fire hydrant added on the street.
And it was folded so you saw Hydra instead of hydrant. And I was like,
whoa, Jessica, that's going in the breakdown. You're getting the credit for that one.
I was so mad because I was like, the director definitely noticed that and was just like, okay.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I could see that going either way. But
Hydra?
I love it. It is now like, an Easter egg.
He's like, thank you. Thank you. Jessica Clemens noticed it. But that was another time Hydra's brought up.
Our final Wanda the f***. What's going on with Wanda? Why do you think Monica mentioning Ultron killed Pietro triggered Wanda so much? She knew she had a twin. She must have known some parts of her back. Why is Monica saying that piss her off?
I think she just put that, which, I mean, probably a lot of people would if their twin died, shove that so deep down. Uh-huh. And then she also lost Vision. She lost literally all the loves of her life. She believed in Ultron, and then Ultron she found out that he was just trying to destroy every human. And she was like, everybody I fall for keeps dying or just becomes evil. And so that just triggered it. It just woke her up from this dream that she's in.
Yeah, I think you were saying this earlier, but this ending was the most hint we have gotten that Wanda could just be the villain of this series. Because the fact that everyone was so afraid of her, it felt very Anthony Fremont in that Twilight Zone episode, the kid who can just manifest all of reality around him, read people's minds. Everyone better say very good, Anthony, and do whatever he wants. It feels like that's who she was. And the fact that she was just rocking these babies, didn't that feel like the ending of Rosemary's Baby?
And the screen got wider. It went from a movie.
Yeah, it felt like she was weirdly calm.
And Vision was scared. Vision was terrified. And I can't wait till the fourth episode for us
to
be like, Vision's going
to
start recognizing there's something, there's going to be I can't wait for the glitch to happen. And he's going to be like, what just happened? Yeah. He's going to acknowledge there was a glitch. He's going to be like, no, that wasn't normal. Wanda, what the hell's happening here? He was scared of her too.
And from what we could probably guess, next week will be the 80s Family Ties or Full House episode.
So the babies will be a little older.
Yeah. Agnes looks like she's going to be the Kimmy Gibbler. Vision looks more confused than he normally is. So we'll see. I don't know if we've seen Vision and Wanda together and a lot of the other footage from the later episodes. The 90s one, Wanda looks like she's alone. The 2000s Modern Family one, Wanda's alone in the house.
That's true.
Vision is walking around trick-or-treating. You don't see them together in some of the later sitcoms. So they
I
might
can't wait until that trick-or-treat episode. I cannot wait for that trick-or-treat. I feel like that episode is going to unravel so much. Also, I need to know what Sword is actually doing. I'm glad we finally saw Sword, because now we're going to be like, oh, Monica storyline. We're going to figure out what Sword's actually doing.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for the fourth episode.
Well, as always, we're going to close out this episode by checking back in with our segment, What the Devil? In which we're going to run down some possible clues and sightings of Mephisto.
Only Mephisto. No one else.
And again, we know that episode 2 had that big Grim Reaper Easter egg. This might evolve into a segment called Getting Grimmer. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. Grim Miss. Are we stealing from McDonald's completely?
Or how about Grim and Barrett?
That's a good one.
We get another one. But for now, we're still kind of leaning towards Mephisto. One clue that I saw was when Agnes said, Ralph looks better in the dark.
That is true.
That could go either way. What does that mean? Does that mean dark robes, Grim Reaper, or something else? Yeah, I don't know. But what did you make of, in the opening titles, that old withered red book that Vision was reading just called Pregnancy? Mm. Why did that book look so dilapidated?
Well, because you see that dark shaded, it's obviously a figure, and I was trying so hard to zoom in, but my phone was not having it. It was not having it. So if there is someone that has that computer technology, please tell me what it said.
We'll talk about it in the breakdown, but that is something. I feel like that could, is that the Darkhold, is that some kind of cursed book that that's the actual book that brought Vision back to life. We'll see. Third detail, more sixes, more hexagons. We saw that in the opening scene. Some people pointed out how there are six prongs on Wanda's ruby ring. You don't need six prongs. You can get away with four. I know this. I just went engagement ring shopping. So why six prongs? I don't know if it is anything. But a fourth detail, some of our friends on Discord actually found this, and I think some other people on Reddit saw it as well. From the first episode, the toaster in the commercial, that was the first toaster, the one that broke, the before toaster, it has a symbol when it's flipped upside down. A 666.
So it is Mephisto. Good to know. Cool. Got it.
Or it's something. Or it's all of it.
Nope. It's Mephisto now. That tied it in. That put it in there. Put it in the
book. I actually asked the actor, our good buddy Ithmar Enriquez, about this in yesterday's video, so be sure to go watch it. Well, that is it for this episode of Inside Marvel WandaVision After Show. We'll be back next week to break down the biggest Wanda the F*** from episode 4. Jessica, thank you so much for joining me. You can follow Jessica at Lulu_Clemens. It's not Lulu Clemens one word, Lulu_Clemens.
It is on Twitter. Everywhere else, it's Lulu Clemens as one word.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, on Twitter, Lulu Clemens, thank you for clearing it up.
Got it.
Because the other Lulu Clemens on Twitter had her account suspended. So people were like, what did Jessica do?
Yeah, it was someone that tried to take my Twitter a long time ago, and I had maybe 30 followers. It wasn't anything.
What?
So if you see them say anything mean, it wasn't me. It was them trying to take my dang name.
You can follow me at EA Voss and follow New Rockstar. Subscribe to Inside Marvel wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to New Rockstars here on YouTube. And we're going to close with our favorite moment of the episode.
Do these earrings make me look fat?
Oh, thank God.